So in recent years, a 5,000-year-old Eastern practice has gained immense popularity here in the States among women and among men. We, of course, are talking about yoga. And when it comes to yoga, Rosanna McAuliffe and Yoga Works means business. On this episode of The Beauty Construct, Rosanna shares her experience as a CEO of not just a company, but a movement. We not only get a peek and an insider's view of the wellness movement, but we're also getting some valuable tips on empathetic business leadership. Rosanna, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy to have you. I have been hearing so much about you, all good things.
Oh, that's from, so sweet. So glad to be here.
Yes, from a friend of mine, and she's been telling me since we started this podcast, you have to talk to Rosanna. She has the most incredible story to share. So this is your platform, sister. I want you to share it and tell us how you got to the place that you're at now, the CEO of Yoga Works. What an incredible title.
Yes, it's been an incredible journey. Who knew I would ever get to be the CEO of Yoga Works? I mean, I think my journey started many years ago by being in the health and wellness sector. Specifically, I started my career in consumer packaged goods with Max Factor and Neutrogena, and learning how to understand consumer desires, consumer fears, and translating those consumer insights into products that we can consume and feel good about. And so I spent the beginning of my career in marketing. And then fast forward many years later, I was called to be asked if I wanted to join Yoga Works, where I had had my first yoga experience coincidentally years before. And this was the leader in the category, and this was an opportunity to participate in the health and wellness now on the service side, not on the product side, and take the brand and make it bigger and make it more of a household name across the United States. So it was a really exciting journey.
What? I mean, that's full circle.
I know, exactly.
That's incredible.
And it was almost like it was meant to be when I said Yoga Works. Wow, I took my first class when I had very serious back pains, pregnant with our third son. And my husband said, okay, I know we can't get you any medicine, so we better do something. I found this yoga studio near our house. Let's both go and take a class. And that was my first introduction to yoga.
Oh,
it was really
goodness.
A physical experience.
While you were pregnant, how many months?
I was 6 months pregnant and experiencing tremendous back pain and the spasms that I just could not control and heating pads, ice packs, nothing helped. Mm. And finally, by moving my body and breathing and learning how to do that more consistently, were the pains actually reduced.
I'm smiling because I had the same experience, not trying yoga for the first time, but back pain through pregnancy. It was unbearable. Yes,
well, and
unbearable.
That's why a lot of yoga studios now have prenatal as well, because being flexible is so important. We know, right, not just for the body, but for the mind. But some people's first intersection with yoga is really a physical experience where I have a specific pain. My chiropractor told me to go to yoga. My doctor told me to go to yoga. I have to do this. I can walk now because of yoga. I can stand because of yoga. So it's really more of a physical intersection. And then, of course, once you begin the practice, you begin to understand yoga is much more than a physical journey, although it can be just a physical journey. I've met so many students who say, yeah, I'm a triathlete and I have to do yoga to help me train for my triathlon. Or I'm a huge cyclist, but my calves are so tight. I have to do yoga on alternating days just to keep my calves stretched. So yoga offers the opportunity for you to participate with the practice at any level you so desire.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was doing yoga about 5-6 hours before I was admitted to the hospital. I was in active labor doing yoga. Yeah. Earlier in the day. And then that evening, I was officially admitted and was told you're going to have a baby within the next 24 hours. But yeah, yoga really helped in those moments because I not only had back pain throughout my pregnancy, I had back labor. Fun times.
Oh, lucky
yes.
you.
Lucky me. I am lucky. I have a beautiful baby girl now because of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I'm looking at your accolades here, and you have done a lot of things throughout your lifetime. And you've worked for some incredible companies. You named a few. I just want to add to that list. Max Factor, 20th Century Fox, WeddingChannel.com, Evite.com. I sent an Evite this morning.
Oh, how funny.
So funny. And all of this has led you up to YogaWorks. But throughout these other companies, you must have learned a lot working for different skincare and beauty companies. I just want to know, and I hope I'm not putting you on the spot too much here, but throughout all of them, your experience, the years that you've put into all of it, what are some things that you can share with us? Maybe some tips that you've carried with you that you cannot live without today?
For sure. For me, as I said at the beginning, it always starts with the consumer. So whatever business you're in, whatever sector you're in, you have a target audience. And it doesn't matter what you think is the right product or service that you should be offering. It's what your consumer needs, wants, and will ultimately purchase that will define part of the success of your business. So for me, I always think about things in the consumer arena first. What does the consumer want? What do they say they want now? What do I put together that they may want in the future? But if it's not right by the consumer, it's probably not going to work. But with every good idea comes the need for a good business, a good business model, and a good business operation. And so now you need a couple more things. You need the ability to project what that business model is, develop the right forecast and budget. And that looks good on paper. And as we all know, just like kids, they don't behave as they should as they say in the books. I mean, everything's so unpredictable. So you have to have the ability to develop a plan and be flexible to adjust to the changing metrics. And that brings me to the second point, which is if you don't have the data to see what is really happening and being objective and reading that data, you may not be steering your business in the right direction. And so that honesty and transparency and a respect for the data is critical. And I think above all else, and I know this is often said, but unless you have a team of people who are truly team-oriented, and that phrase is used so casually in some instances, but what I mean by team is a group of people who are, you know, brilliant in their own modality and in their own department, but they're broad thinkers. They're able to think outside of their area, but that they care to think beyond their existing area to help the overall team in whatever needs to be done to aid the business. And by having a team with diversity of thought around the table and a desire to help each other and for the goalposts to be aligned where the leader has set them to be is absolutely the most important thing to reaching your goal.
I just want to take a moment and just kind of acknowledge and uplift the divine energy and feminine power right now. I mean, being a woman in the business, holding the titles that you've held, including this one, being CEO of a company, is incredible, is absolutely incredible. What has that been like just as far as the gender role goes? Has it been harder being a woman and obtaining these positions?
You know, I don't know how to act other than being a woman. So I don't know, you know, what men think and what men do. I know we're often viewed as being a lot more self-critical and feeling like we need to keep our family life and our family issues at home and not to talk about them for fear that we are, you know, thinking too much about home and not about work. And so I have found myself, you know, trying to be a lot more objective and, quote, professional at work, or what I thought was professional over the years. But I'll tell you, working for YogaWorks and with the support of my team, the more I was personal and the more I was vulnerable with my team and the more I was able to share, I think the more we bonded as a team. And I think it was extremely exciting also to be part of an organization where, quite frankly, it's a female-dominated company. I'm so proud that there are 3,000 employees at YogaWorks across almost 70 studios, and 80% of the employees are female. And within, you know, the group of employees, there's a lot of minorities as well, whether it's in, as self-described African-Americans or Asians or Hispanic. I'm just so proud to lead such a diverse group of people, because I think with that diversity, do you have more inclusivity of thought, inclusivity of body, and being able to reach out to the broadest demographic and appeal to them in a very personal and relevant way.
So you mentioned 80% of your employees are women. So how do you get the men more involved in yoga? Or how do you get them to engage in yoga? Or do you feel that there are a lot who come in just as clients who want to practice, but they don't necessarily immerse themselves in the whole yoga world and want to teach?
You know, it couldn't be more exciting to be at yoga, in yoga today. It is such a big and growing category. Now, think about it. This is a 5,000-year-old tradition that is growing at double-digit rates. And so you say to yourself, why is this ancient practice having such relevance today? And I think it's because people understand the importance of yoga, not just for body, but for mind, and for some, even for a spiritual angle. And I think that that ability for a single practice to reach people on so many levels is what's attracting so many people. And so it's 56 million people, it's growing by double digits, and men are one of the fastest growing categories. Men and adults over 55 are growing 2 to 3 times faster than everyone else. And right now, I think the latest data shows that it's about 70% women and about 30% men across the United States. But those numbers are rapidly changing, and I would argue it changes depending on the city and depending on the class, right? And so when you see celebrities, athletes, your friends in investment banking and lawyers and teachers and construction workers and everyone from every walk of life now saying, you know, I do yoga and I feel better. You should come to class with me. And I think that word of mouth is huge for getting everyone out. I think the other thing that is really important is the misconceptions that you have to be flexible to go to yoga are now being dispelled. The way you get flexible is going to yoga.
And exactly.
I feel like the cobbler with holes in my shoes. Sometimes I don't get to class for weeks. And I'll tell you, I'm kind of stiff and I can't touch my toes at the beginning of class. Mm-hmm. And within just an hour, I can reach my toe and I can bend my index finger under my big toe by just moving in 1 hour. And so while it's not a lot, you gain flexibility in just 1 hour. And imagine with increasing your practice every week or every month, you're going to get more and more flexibility, both physically, but also mentally. And that is what's so exciting.
Absolutely. And there are so many variations of yoga. Mm-hmm. And I want you to kind of explain some of the different types and different classes that are offered, like hot yoga. Maybe talk about the benefits of hot yoga versus not hot yoga. There's also goat yoga, which I feel like is a new thing that kind of broke out because of social media.
Yes.
I mean, you're seeing people with goats on their back all over social media, Facebook, Instagram. I'm guilty. I tried it. It was a lot of fun. I don't know that it was a workout, but it was a lot of fun, and what a great experience it was. But yeah, let's go through just those two. What do you feel is the difference between just maybe a standard yoga class versus something like that, like the hot yoga or a goat yoga class?
Yeah, well, let me first by saying that I'm not sure there's such a thing as a standard yoga class. I think the diversity of classes is what's also adding to the number of people joining yoga right now. So some people like vinyasa, which is more of a flow class where you move through various poses. Some of those can be really fast, sweaty, cardio-based classes. You can have gentle, you can have therapeutic, you can have yin, where there's great focus on alignment and holding poses for a long period of time. And sure, you can have hot yoga and goat yoga. I mean, the theory behind hot yoga is that some people feel like that added level of heat and sometimes humidity can help make the muscles a little bit more flexible before class. And some other people just say, you know what, it's just my preference. It's cold outside, or I simply like the feeling like I'm sweating more because then I feel like I'm working out more. And so whatever it is the reason that you're attracted to it, to me, I think you should be applauded for going to whatever class makes you feel good. And sometimes you feel good by taking a hot class or a goat yoga class or a cardio class. And I think you have to listen to your body to decide what's going to motivate you to go to class today and to get off the grid. Now, in the case of goat yoga, I'm so proud of you for trying it. I have not done it yet. I have seen it. It looks hysterical. It is. The traditionalists, of course, say, you know, I think you should be, you know, getting into a pose on your own and not have to worry about this baby goat with a mind of its own. And I've also, you know, think it can be a little bit silly with, you know, it could be a little messy at times too, is what I've heard.
Extremely. Yes. Extremely that messy. Was my experience. I mean, it put a smile on my face. That's for sure. So for the mind, it was very therapeutic. I was happy. I enjoyed it. But yeah, when you're doing downward dog, you're like, oop, I can't put my hand there. There's a little steaming pile of dew right there. So we're going to move this way. And then, oh, there's a little pee over there. So I'm going to move.
That's hysterical. And see, that's what I've observed. And that's why Yoga Works doesn't do goat yoga in our classes, because hygiene's a big issue for us and our beautiful hardwood floors. You know, we want to make sure we can keep them clean. But you know what? I'm less critical of goat yoga being more fatty or more silly. I'm more of the kind of person who believes if that's what it takes you to get off the grid and move, then go and do that. You know, be very safe, you know, be very safe.
Yeah. You could be social. You're going to laugh.
That's it.
Anything that kind of welcomes togetherness and will give you a positive experience is something we should all participate in, whether that be goat yoga or just grabbing coffee with, you know, some friends or some strangers at Starbucks. Absolutely.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that's the other thing about yoga that is so exciting to me. So it's funny because yoga means union. And I think the union yoga traditionally is meant to be talking about is the body and the mind, right? So usually, and when I took my first classes, I was looking at yoga more as a physical. And as I sat there in the pose, I'm like, okay, I have to go to Target. I have to get diapers. I have to get formula. Mm-hmm. I was constructing lists in my head and I wasn't really present all the time. And I think that if you are able to stay present and focused, which the way you connect your mind and your body is through your breath, right? If you are really focused on inhaling one, two, three, four, five, exhaling similarly, it is harder to think about the world outside when you're really focused. But I think the other point of the union is the broader definition of union and the union of your community. This is a chance for you to be in a classroom of people who are trying to help themselves and supporting you in your journey, whatever that journey is. And I think that that is ultimately what's even more powerful about yoga is this community aspect.
Mm-hmm. And every class that I've ever taken, the instructor has always said that this is a non-judgmental space. Mm-hmm. So you work at your pace, whatever you can do, you want to participate. If you can't do this, here's an option. So they've always been very welcoming. That's been my experience because I'm not very flexible. But when I would go and take these classes, I never felt ashamed. I never felt embarrassed if I wasn't able to do what the person on the mat next to me was able to do.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, something that maybe I shouldn't admit, but I, of course, joined yoga as more of a business person. I mean, I'm not a teacher, but when you say you're the CEO of Yoga Works, there's an immediate perception that you are the best yogi in the world. Yeah. And I'm not. And so I was so intimidated going into classes and admitting who I was because I felt that there was this judgment that I would be an expert. And I had them create a fictitious account for me so I could check in under this Mary McConnell or whatever I came up with. So people didn't know who I was. But after you take enough classes and you're at the company long enough, some of the teachers start looking at you and they look at you and you're thinking, oh, I think I just got recognized. Oops. And my fear, of course, was being judged. And what I've learned is over the years, of course, I could just be myself first and foremost because of that non-judgmental zone. But there was an understanding later. It took me a little while to understand that teachers, yoga teachers, are incredibly humble. And they see themselves mostly as students first and teachers. Second. And so in that understanding, did I realize that they are on their own journey and applaud anyone on any journey, no matter where it is. And with that comfort and that knowledge, I was comforted in admitting I was Rosanna McCullough when I was going into class and even saying hello to the teacher before class and just saying, I'm so excited to be here and work on my practice. This is such a luxury for me.
That's very sweet. Speaking of luxury, do you get to wear yoga pants to work every day? That's a very important question I need answered.
Yes, at corporate and at the studios, yes, we are a yoga spandex friendly environment. At the corporate office, we are also a dog friendly office. We think dogs make us more human. So long as everyone has their dogs, you know, tethered to them, it's not free play at the office. I had to make my first dog policy memo when dogs were running all over the place. And I think I was on an investor call and dogs were barking. I'm like, okay, new policy. Everyone has to keep their dog at their desk. This isn't free play. Would that be okay with everyone? So yes, we're a dog friendly office too.
That's so great. I actually have my little black and white chihuahua sitting next to me right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I can appreciate that. That's for sure. Well, that's incredible. That just means not only are you comfortable at work, but you can really enjoy lunch when you're in spandex.
Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly.
You have a little bloated belly. No worries. You have spandex pants on. You're going to be comfortable all day.
That's it.
I have to share a funny story with you. When we were talking about the hot yoga and goat yoga, it made me think of this story that I heard a couple of months back from a friend. Her hairdresser met her husband at naked yoga, which is a thing, apparently, at least in Arizona. And it's like a weekly class. I said, was this like some sort of retreat? She goes, no, like it's in a studio. It's once a week. That is something I can honestly say I would never try. But hey, non-judgmental zone. I'm not judging anyone who does it. But curious if you've heard of that or any other like wacky types of variations that are, you know, a little bit shocking, but still a way to practice?
Actually, I had not heard of that. That is the first for me. No, I've heard, you know, different types of modalities.
I know all of our listeners are visualizing right now. Just stop. Just cut it off. Don't visualize it.
Oh my gosh. No, I have not heard that before. I guess, you know, ultimate flexibility, maybe you want to be very comfortable, but, no, that's a first.
Yeah. A first for me too, but apparently a thing. But nothing else that you've heard of that's kind of crazy. I mean, the goat yoga is kind of crazy in its own rights, but any other variations, I'm just curious, that have crossed your desk that you're like, oh, haven't heard of that.
You know, we've had workshops, you know, over the years where it's, you know, yoga and chocolate and yoga and wine and different sorts of ways or excuses for people to go to a class they've never heard of and say, oh, that interests me. And so for me, again, kind of like the goat yoga or the hot yoga that we talked about, whatever sparks your interest and gets you to get off the couch or away from your phone, most importantly, get off the grid. That to me is where the magic happens, is listening to your body, meeting other people, feeling good after an hour or 2 hours, whatever, and being present. That's the important thing.
Yeah. And yoga and chocolate sounds like a wonderful combo. Yeah,
right?
Oh, I love that.
Exactly.
So talking about togetherness and everyone getting together in studios, do you think that that is the trend? Or do you think yoga is kind of trending towards virtual classes? You know, it's so accessible and easy online on YouTube. You can take classes. Do you think people are practicing primarily on their own, kind of in their own home and their own space in their living room? Or do you see more and more people coming out to attend classes?
I think both are happening. We see a growing trend of people practicing at home, just like there has always been workouts, right? For those of us old enough, you know, the Jane Fonda DVDs.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're all in our home and now things are just streaming on TV and many of those things are free on YouTube. And so the access has never been greater. But I think, you know, there's a different reason why you're doing things at home than when you're going to studio. At Yoga Works, we have an online platform called myyogaworks.com with a catalog of about 1,200 videos. And you could search by duration, you can search by modality, you can search by teacher, you can search by time. And I'll tell you, we found it very interesting that the top searched items are 20 or 30 minute classes. So where before the early years of us developing content were all 60, 70, 90 minute classes, we are now doing more 45, 30, and 20 minute classes. And that what it tells me is that people want to get some form of exercise in. And if they can't get in the car or in the subway to make it to an hour class, they're trying to do something at home. And so it's serving a slightly different purpose, which is I need to get something quick in versus nothing at all. But I think the growth of people going to actual physical classes is because I think people recognize that yoga is different than other types of fitness. You know, when you're riding a bike or whether you're doing push-ups, you understand what those things are. I don't think an instructor is going to instruct you on how to sit on your seat a little bit better. But I can't tell you how many times I've been in class and I'm in yoga, you know, whatever, a yoga class, a warrior two pose, and I think I'm straight. I might even have a mirror and I'm looking, I'm like, I think I'm straight. And then the teacher comes over and moves the shoulder up and out. I'm like, oh, I feel that now. Okay, mm-hmm. That's the right pose. And to be in the right pose is a safety issue as well, right? The teacher is looking to make sure people are learning and doing the right pose, but they also want to make sure they're not, you know, straining too far or too much in a different way so they don't want to hurt themselves. So I think the reason people like going to yoga is that physical teacher to student instruction plus the community aspect we just talked about.
Of course. And you said, so when you took on this position, you had essentially only taken one yoga class. So I'm wondering.
The prenatal,
yeah.
Well, I took one type of class. I'd taken many of the prenatal classes, but just one modality. Sorry if I wasn't clear.
Okay. So it still leads me to this question. Since you obtained this position in 2015, you became CEO. Since then, how have things shifted for you? Maybe your mindset, you know, because yoga meditation kind of go hand in hand. Breath work is incorporated in all sorts of yoga practices. So mindset, body, how your body feels, just overall, has anything shifted for you since you have taken on this position and began practicing yoga more regularly?
Yeah, I think I had this very structured view that if I wanted to take a class, I had to work my way up. So I had to take a Vinyasa 1 before I could take a Vinyasa 2. And so those classes were not relevant to me earlier, or I felt they weren't relevant to me, or a Yoga Works 1 and I'd have Master 1 before I can continue to a 2, or whatever modality of class that had levels with them. And I learned by being at Yoga Works and asking questions that, you know what, you can access almost any class because the teacher is going to be able to adjust the classes and give modifications based on the people who need it because they're not able to get into that pose, or perhaps they have a sore leg that day or a sore shoulder and they need a modification to begin with. And so understanding that yoga is forgive the pun, a lot more flexible than I thought it was the first misconception that I had as a student. The second is really appreciating the importance of the breath. I would sometimes try to hold a pose and I would hold my breath because I was so scared of tipping over or tipping to one side. And I learned that that actually is counter to what I should be doing and that I need to breathe in and out. And only through the breath do we gain the balance physically, but also that mind and body balance. And I'll remember the first class where I think I, quote, did it right, where I was so present that when we were in, you know, the last few minutes of class is often a shavasana, like I think of it as a corpse pose. You're just laying mm-hmm. flat on the ground with your eyes
it's my favorite.
Closed. I know it's everyone's mm-hmm. favorite. I'm always in awe of the people who could snore in shavasana. I'm like, good for you. I want to do that. But I remember focused so much on my breath that day that when the teacher came up behind me to just gently press my temples, you know, the on either side of my mm-hmm. temple, I was not even aware of the teacher's footsteps that she came behind me. And I remember thinking, oh, that felt great, that I wasn't thinking of what I needed to do on the way home or the email or, you know, yeah. anything else that was bothering me. And I thought, wow, I had really achieved what yoga was about, was being present. And it was such a relief. And I think that's the ultimate luxury that you can give yourself, is just being present with your mind and your feelings, and then mm-hmm. feeling grateful to yourself for having worked on yourself for even just 20 minutes or an hour, whatever it is. That gratefulness is really an amazing and powerful emotion.
And speaking of powerful, breath work is so powerful. I mean, something we do all day long, have to do to survive, can be so healing without us even realizing it. I remember seeing a little quote one time that said, deep breaths are like little love notes for your body. Uh-oh, and I loved that. Yeah, yeah, I'll never forget that. But it's so true. And people who maybe suffer from anxiety or stress, just having a bad day, or just need to, you know, hold that pose a little longer or sink a little deeper into Warrior Two or touching your toes. I mean, breath work can get you to all of those places, a place of serenity, a place of tranquility, a place of feeling stress-free, even if it's just for that moment. I mean, the power of breath work is incredible and something that so many of us don't do. Don't take a few seconds or a few minutes out of our day to do that. To just be present and breathe.
I think it's that breathing that is what must be behind the growing library of research on the benefits of yoga. So you mentioned stress, anxiety, depression, you know, the flexibility, the strength and balance, but there's research on the improvements for heart disease and blood pressure. And I can't even tell you how many dozens and dozens of people over the years that have come up to me to say, oh my God, what you guys do is amazing. I've survived my cancer because of you guys, meaning not, we didn't cure cancer, but we helped the person through their chemotherapy and helped them approach each day. Or I survived my husband's death because of you guys and coming here every day. Or I survived my divorce because of yoga. And I even had this one army, I don't remember, captain or lieutenant would write in and say, can I just thank you guys for your MyYogaWorks.com videos? When I'm in combat during the day, the only thing that keeps me sane is doing MyYogaWorks.com when I get back to the barracks at night. And now my whole, you know, team or platoon or whatever they're, forgive me, I can't remember what branch of the military she's, it was a female, she served. She's like, I've got my whole unit doing yoga at nighttime every day, given what we do during the day. It's the only thing getting us through this. And I just start crying reading these emails or listening to these people and how yoga has changed their life in such a profound way. And I think it's that breath work, coming back to what you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And yoga has created so many opportunities. I mean, not only from a health standpoint, but going back to that word togetherness, just creating opportunities to connect with other people and to experience things that you've never experienced before, with different types of retreats and social mm-hmm. activities that are happening all over the world. I would love your take on things like that, on the retreats, on the festivals that are happening, like I mentioned, all over the world and connecting so many people and creating these long-lasting friendships and relationships that otherwise we never would have had if it wasn't for yoga.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, what better way to combine a vacation or a treat to yourself with something that's good for your body, for your mind? I mean, whether you're going to a festival in the United States or Iceland, Tahiti, Italy, the number of destination vacations are endless these days. And this is a great way to combine, you know, your love for doing something, you know, whether it's a 1 to 2 hours in the morning and 1 to 2 hours in the afternoon, and then visiting a new location and or just communing with people. I think it's growing in greater popularity because of the tremendous experience of it all. It's like it's something you just can't buy that makes you feel that good. It is something that is just life-changing. And I think for us at Yoga Works, it's not just for regular classes. We also offer these types of destination opportunities for those who want to take their practice to the next level and do their teacher training, which is a 200-hour program. Now, some people do it on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, at their local studio where they live. And other people say, well, if I'm going to do that amount of work, I want to be in a place that is just, I'm going to Bali to do my 200-hour training or China or Italy or France. And what greater way to have an experience plus an immersion at the same time?
Yeah, that would be incredible. That's for sure. From a corporate standpoint, I just want to ask you a business question. And that is, like, what is the perception of yoga as a business in the financial sector? We're talking about all of these people all over the world now participating in yoga, people over 55. You've seen an increase in that age range. So more and more people are kind of hopping on this yoga train. From a financial standpoint, sounds like a pretty good deal, pretty good investment if people are thinking about maybe joining Yoga Works or opening their own studio. You think it's a pretty good decision?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you're looking at a financial investment, you look at a couple things. The first is, do I believe in the category? And is that category growing or shrinking? And in the case of yoga as a category, I think everyone universally accepts this is a big market, a growing market. So we talked about the 56 million people doing yoga. It translates to a $16 billion industry and growing every single year as more and more people enter it. So the market itself is growing. Okay, great. So we know health and wellness is growing. What about yoga specifically? This isn't a fad. It's been around for 5,000 years and it's growing today. It's, you know, some people, you know, whether you're into rowing and then all of a sudden rowing goes out of favor and I love rowing. My son rows crew. So I think it's a fantastic sport, but some people go in and out of different sorts of things. And the thing about yoga specifically is yoga is complementary to any other form of exercise. So whether you're cycling, running, doing other forms of group exercise, yoga is, and stretching in particular, is always a necessity. So, okay, so I love the market. I love the category. I love the yoga specific. Now, what about yoga as a retail business? And you say to yourself, well, I look at all of the different businesses around the country and I travel all over the United States and I look out the window and I see, you know, a closed store here, a closed store there. Amazon's taken their business. Amazon's taken this business. Where are all the children's clothing stores? Where are all the toy stores? They're all gone. The only thing left in my perception at retail that is doing extremely well is in the food and wherever there can be a service or an experience. And we've talked a lot today about the benefits of the community aspect of yoga. And I think that's why people are looking to play in health and wellness with a financial investment that makes sense now and in the future. And I think that's why Yoga Works is so well situated for all of those reasons.
Speaking of future, what is the future of yoga? Where do you see it going?
You know, I think the research is going to become more and more apparent and broad as to the physical benefits of yoga as more and more research is done. I think corporations, what I see happening now is more and more corporations are offering yoga as one of the many benefits of working for a company. You know, it's not just about the vacations and the holidays, but it's also about how you feel at work. And people who do yoga at lunchtime or maybe before work or after work, and you're feeling good about yourself and good about your work and good about your fellow employees, you're going to stay at that company longer. You're going to want to participate more. And the more productivity and the less turnover, I think, is going to be a benefit. I think insurance companies are going to see that yoga is prevention and worth a pound of cure as well. And I think more and more insurance companies are going to maybe even copay for yoga as the benefits become, you know, more accepted everywhere. And I think, you know, on just the individual level, as more and more people feel the benefits of yoga, feel more grateful, we're going to have a more healthy society. And yoga is a way for people to be brought together in a world that's just going faster and faster and faster and more technologically enabled every single day. And I think yoga offers this counter balance to that speed and to that technology to, you know, get in a place where there's no electronics other than perhaps maybe the music playing and an ability for you to just be present.
Yeah. I like to ask the guests here at the Beauty Construct how they find beauty in their everyday lives or beauty in the position that they uphold. So as we wrap things up here, I would love for you to answer that question.
For me, I approached YogaWorks as a challenge to take this leader in the category and grow it as a business. And I think the greatest joy is understanding that we not only have been building a brand and building the reach of that brand and building the number of doors, but we're doing something much more profound. And that is helping people in their everyday lives and helping people come together. And the beauty of the community of healthier, stronger people is something that has greater value than just the business itself, which in and of itself is valuable, but more valuable on a more global scale and a more meaningful scale. And that, to me, is a beautiful thing.
Rosanna, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And to all the listeners out there, I am going to leave you with a quote today from Rolf Gates, who is one of the leading voices of modern yoga. He's also an author, and he said this: "Yoga is not a workout, it's a work in. And this is the point of spiritual practice, to make us teachable, to open up our hearts and focus our awareness so that we can know what we already know and be who we already are." Here at the Beauty Construct, we believe in gratitude, kindness, and positivity. We practice mindfulness and we do our very best to find the beauty in every single situation. I'd like to thank our guest today and thank all of you for listening. May you continue to practice mindfulness today, tomorrow, and always. Coming up on the next episode of the Beauty Construct:
cleaning and hygiene is at the cornerstone of our eye health. If we don't keep those oil glands open and our lash roots clean, we won't have healthy eyes, and then we won't have beautiful eyes.
The Beauty Construct is brought to you by Selvassa. Learn more at selvassalife.com.